Whom did the Romans put on the cross? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Heavenly Father, we pray for your divine illumination on this declaration of thy word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we shall consider Jesus standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. Let us go on into the scriptures and find out what happened on that early Friday morning that we now call Good Friday. It says in Mark 15, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing." Now let's look at another passage in John 18, where we also have Jesus standing before Pilate. It says, "And Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." Now here you have two accounts of Jesus before Pilate. Of course, you have two more in the other two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. In order for us to understand what really happened here in all these trials of Jesus, first before the retired high priest Annas, then before the acting high priest Caiaphas, then before Pilate, we must understand a little bit about politics of that day. The Jews condemned Jesus to death on the basis of their own religious law. To them, Jesus had committed blasphemy. That is, he had made himself equal with God, and that sin was punishable by death. But the Romans had taken away the right for capital punishment from the Jews. So the Jews could condemn a man to death, but they could not execute him. And this gets us into our text in the 15th chapter of Mark again. It says, "And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus." So the chief priests, the elders and the scribes and the council together made up the Jewish governing body of 71 men called the Sanhedrin. And after they made their verdict and passed their death sentence on Jesus, they sent Jesus to Pilate to be executed. Now Pilate was a Roman governor over three provinces, the provinces of Judea, Idumea, and Samaria. Now when the Jews took Jesus to Pilate, they did not bring the charge of blasphemy to him. That is, they did not push that particular charge, because to Rome this was religious stuff. This kind of charge would be internal religious affairs of the Jews, and the Romans would rather not deal with that because they had their own religion. So what the Jews had to do is to get Jesus executed by the Romans is they had to come up with a political charge that violated Roman law. And so they charged him with something the Romans could throw the books of law at Jesus for, and those things were that Jesus was against paying taxes, and that he said he was the king of the Jews. And so it is these accusations that were given to Pilate when Jesus was taken bound to him. They were explosive political issues indeed. And that gets us back again to this passage, "And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews?" This became the pivotal question of the final trial. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Thou sayest it." And again, our verse says, "The chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing." That is to say, Jesus did not answer any religious question that these Jewish accusers may have had, except for the one thing, and that is as to who he was. Again, Jesus went to the cross, refusing to answer any question other than as it related to who he was. So Jesus ignored all the questions of the high priest, except this one, "Are you the Christ?" And Jesus said, "I am." And to Pilate, when he asked the political question, "Are you the king or a king then?" Jesus said, "To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world." So what's happening here is that Jesus, by stating that he was a king in the presence of Pilate, is that Jesus is pulling all the strings of all of his ministry, of all his teachings, of all his emphases together as one great consolidating fact that he was a king and he was born to be a king. He did not want to engage in any other thing but this fact, this one truth, with the Roman world. He did not want anybody to sidetrack him, to dilute the message. He wanted to convey to the world in his last hours that he was a king. And my friend, you can become an expert at theology. You can argue, you can debate all kinds of doctrines, you can preach, you can be at every church service, and you can go to the mission field, and you can read the Bible and memorize it, and you can give your body to be burned until you get a hold of the fact, and the fact gets a hold of you, your body, soul, mind, and spirit, that Jesus is king, not just the Messiah. You have nothing. You are nothing. You go nowhere, spiritually speaking. The truth that needs to come back to the forefront of our daily lives is the fact that Jesus is not only the Messiah, but also king, and that therefore we cannot, we must not respond to him in any other matter than in that relationship. And that means that we drop everything, every moment of the day, to serve him, to adore him, to worship him, to die for him, to live for him. What Jesus said before the cross is, "I'm a Savior, yes." That is what he also is indeed. But what he said, what he wanted to go down in history with, for having said, "I am a king." I want you to understand that unless you, my friend, have got it in your heart, Jesus would say, "I cannot and I will not be your Savior." There is, as somebody said years ago, no Saviorhood without Lordship. So Jesus said, "For this reason was I born, for this purpose came I into the world." And until we get that into the center of our Christian practice, we're not going anywhere. That's why Jesus wanted that statement nailed on the cross, to give his whole message of salvation the proper context. Jesus is gathering all the strings of his life, of his ministry, together here. He was a king. He preached the kingdom of God from village to village. He gave many parables about the kingdom of God. He started the Beatitudes, with the first Beatitude being, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." He made the petition, "Thy kingdom come," the first petition of the prayer that he wants us to pray, which we call the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus said to Pilate, "Yes, I'm a king. I don't respond to anything else, any other question, but this one, I do so because this one needs to be highlighted again and again. Indeed, I am a king. I was born to be a king. I came to be a king." So what the Jews wanted on the cross was words like, "He's a blasphemer, he's a rebel, he's a traitor, he's an imposter, he's a deceiver." My friend, what some of you want on the cross, the words you want on the cross, "He's a savior of mankind," that's good. But God took the finger of Rome and wrote on that cross, "Jesus, the King of the Jews," which we today understand to mean Jesus the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fulfillment of all messianic prophecy up to that point. And so the Jews protested, saying, "Pilate, don't write on there, 'Jesus, the King of the Jews,' write on there, 'He said he was the King of the Jews.'" "No," and Pilate said, "what I have written, I've written." Friend, I'm afraid that too many Christians, even active, very active, busy, Christians do not act at all as if Jesus was their king. The Jews try to preserve their own kingdom. That is what they were comfortable with. That is what most everybody today is trying to preserve, their own kingdoms. But Jesus said, no, get rid of your comfort zone, get rid of your temple, get rid of your sacrifices, get rid of your way of worshiping, your way of living. Enter my kingdom. Your kingdom has timed out. It's time for mine. This, my friend, this is revolutionary. This is more powerful than the Bolshevik Revolution at the beginning of the last century. My friend, when you let Jesus overturn all the tables of blessings you've set up for yourself, you're in the midst of a mighty revolution where everything changes in your life. Have you had your revolution yet? From that point on, when you've done that, when everything in your life is laid under the wisdom of God, is laid under the revelation of God, then, my friend, you are in a kingdom that operates under entirely different principles than the kingdoms of this world. That is why Jesus said, if I were of this world, then my servants would fight. But I am not of this world, therefore my servants do not fight. So the battle of the children of the kingdom is a spiritual battle. Jesus looked like a loser here, didn't he? As he stood before Pilate, his hands were bound, blood was running down his cheeks, soiling his garments. He was spat upon. He was ready to be crucified. Oh, my friend, he looked like a loser. But I tell you something, you hang in there, you keep following this master, and the day will come that Jesus also had, when the world will know that it is not that he nor that you are a loser, but that they are the losers. I invite you today, my friend, that you let Jesus to be the king of your life, that you will be able to sit at the king's table. You will be clothed in the king's royal robe of righteousness. You will have the king's protection against all evil. You will never lose a battle. You will drink of a fountain that will never run dry. You will have brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and friends and houses and lands more than you know what to do with. And you will have the angels watching over you. You will be in the kingdom that never disappoints, and it will last forever. Jesus came as a king, and his kingdom has spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. He has put all his enemies under his feet, and the day will come when he shall bring an end to this world, and the present earth and the heavens, as we know them, will be rolled up as a scroll, and time shall be no more. Oh, and we shall be with him forever. The Jews said, don't write that he's a king, but that he said he was a king. But Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. Praise ye the Lord. Again, listen, we talk a lot about the saviorhood of our Lord. We need to keep doing that, but know this, that there is no saviorhood without the lordship, without the kingship, without submission to his kingly rule. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time together again to consider the greatest king, the King of Kings, the ruler of all, is there to welcome us into his marvelous kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. May all those who have ears to hear, hear and enter in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you now for listening to the Call to Obedience radio program. Tune in again next week at the same time, the same station. Goodbye now. Until then.